Because God has chosen tithes and offerings to be one of the main aspects of worship for us, and because he's chosen to work into our hearts the pleasure and the responsibility of bringing the tithe and offerings into the local storehouse, and that's the Old Testament term. It means the place that you worship and receive ministry from. And because he wants to bless you as your heart fully belongs to him, the fourth wheel for us to move forward as a body is stewardship. And so to that end, I'm going to share with you not all about all this stuff, but specifically just about the tithe today, the portion that God says unequivocally belongs to him, the part that he commands we return to him. So would you stand with me this morning for the reading of the word? We're going to look at Haggai chapter 2. Haggai, however you pronounce it. Haggai 2, verse 6. I'll give you a minute to turn there. For this is what the Lord of heaven's army says. In just a little while, I will again shake the heavens and the earth, the oceans and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and the treasures of all the nations will be brought to this temple. I will fill this place with glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of heaven's armies. The future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And in this place, I will bring peace. I, the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken. Amen? Amen. We're the temple today. This is just a building. The church today is the temple of God, the people. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit today. So let me just share real briefly while you're standing before we pray. God says he'll shake the nations and bring finances into the temple. Can I refer that to you this morning? God is going, and I believe this is prophetic, in these last days, God will bring abundance into your hands so that you can be a blessing to the world. Can I hear an amen with that? All right? And it all belongs to him. And when you do that, he says he will bring his peace. Hallelujah. God, this morning, we pray that you'd reveal your words to us. Holy Spirit, be our teacher. God, you've given a man words this morning, but without your anointing, they're just going to fall flat. So I pray this morning, God, that you would work in our hearts, work in our minds, unstop our ears this morning, Lord. God, bring us freedom from the things, the ways we've been thinking, which aren't of you. Lord, we want to be faithful to you and do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, the church said, amen. You may be seated. Here's the first thing about tithing. The tithe, just in case you're not aware, the word tithe specifically refers to 10%. It means a tenth is what it means. It's a Hebrew word. And specifically, the tithe refers to the first 10% that belongs to God. But tithing is an act of worship. You can follow along in your bulletin this morning. I pray that you will. You can fill in the blanks with us today. Tithing's an act of worship, and it was established long before the law was written. Genesis 14 says, as Abram returned from his victory, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and a priest of God Most High, brought him bread and wine. Melchizedek blessed Abram. Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. See, Abram had just gone into battle, and he was rescuing his nephew Lot. And in doing so, Abram came back with so much plunder. And he had a couple hundred men that were part of his family and men that had gathered around him with their families and become part of this, the start of this nation that we now call Israel. And Abram goes and he fights for his family. He goes and rescues his family. And what happens is that the plunder is so amazing and so huge that he takes from these other kings that have captured his family. When he comes back, this is a side note on the story, but when he comes back and he comes back to Sodom and with all the rescue, all the people that he's rescued from Sodom and Gomorrah and the other places. This is obviously before Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. But what happens is that the king of Sodom says to Abram, hey, you keep all the stuff that belonged to us that was taken from us. We're just glad to have our families back. And Abram says, no, I'm not going to keep the plunder that belonged to all of you just because you were attacked. But I'll keep the plunder from the foreign kings that came, all right, that I defeated. And so right after this happens, Melchizedek comes to Abram. And Abram, out of gratitude, says, thank you for blessing me. I want to give you a tenth of all that came to me. It's the first tithe. It's the first tithe that we're aware of. Well, also giving, tying right into that, is the natural response of a heart that's been renewed. It's the natural response of a heart that's been renewed. I was talking to somebody one day, and they brought up tithing, and they said, you know, I know people, some people don't understand tithing, and some people don't understand, you know, why we need to tithe and so forth. But and this person said to me, and I love their heart, and they said, how could I not give back to God when he's given me so much? And I was struck by that. I was like, wow, that's a great attitude. What an awesome way of thinking about that. Genesis 28 talks about Jacob and how he had a dream. Remember, he was on the run. He had deceived his father into stealing his brother's birthright, all right, and the blessing that would come down on him. And so he leaves. He's making his way to his uncle's house, hoping for some kind of refuge and safety and maybe to build a life there with his uncle, because now he just basically blasted away at his father and totally dishonored his father. And Jacob, he's wandering in the desert, making his way toward Haran. And he has this dream. And now, I want to tell you, for those of you that are rock music fans, the song Stairway to Heaven did not come from a musician's mind, okay? It came from the Bible. All right? So if you're into classic rock, into that sort of thing, I just want to let you know, Jacob dreams about a stairway to heaven from the ground up. And it's bordered, I don't know what else to call that, but it's straddled or bordered by angels all the way up the steps. And at the top, he sees Jesus. He doesn't know it's Jesus. He just knows it's God. But he sees one who looks like a son of man. He wakes up. Listen to his response. Genesis 28, verse 20. He said, I then made this vow, if God will be with me and protect me on this journey and give me food and clothing, and if you will bring me back safely to my father, then I will make the Lord my God. This memorial pillar will become a place for worshiping God, and I will give God a tenth of everything he gives me. It's the second mention of the tithe. The law is not even established yet. Moses hasn't written it. The natural response of Jacob's heart was to do what his grandfather Abram did, which he knew about. And he said, I'll give God a tenth of everything from here on out. Let me tell you a story, kind of humorous. There were two old friends, and they bumped into one another on the street one day, and one of the men looked very sad and discouraged, almost on the verge of tears, and his friend asked him, what has the world done to you, my friend? The sad fellow said, 3 weeks ago, a rich uncle of mine died. To my surprise, he included me in his will. His lawyers sent me a check for $40,000. Well, isn't that terrific, said the friend? That's a lot of money. Yes, but 2 weeks ago, they sent me another check, this time for $100,000. Wow, that's incredible, said the friend. You've really been blessed. You don't understand, the man whined. Last week, I got another check in the mail that was larger than the first two. It was for $250,000. The friend was getting really confused, obviously. You're right. I don't understand. Why are you unhappy? You've been blessed. Because this week I haven't gotten anything. God gives us what we need. Sometimes in a time that we don't like, he meets the need. So what's your attitude toward worship and giving? Is it a have-to attitude or is it an I-want-to attitude? Our attitude in giving toward God reveals our hearts. Here's the second thing. Tithing is an act of obedience. The first part of understanding this is that is the realization that everything belongs to God. Turn over to Leviticus 27 with me. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. While you're turning there, Leviticus 27. I'm sorry, I was saw a funny thing on Facebook this week. If you're doing a chronological daily Bible reading plan, you've probably gotten into Leviticus this week in your Bible reading. Because Genesis is so big, and you probably work through Job as well. But I saw this little funny post, Leviticus 27, that's where you're turning. I saw this funny post, and there's a guy standing there, and he's got his mouth open wide, and he's like screaming to the heavens. And it says on the bottom of the picture, it said, this is how everybody feels when they have to start reading Leviticus in their Bible reading plans. If you haven't read Leviticus, then you wouldn't get that. But okay, so Leviticus 27, in verse 30, says this: one-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. If you want to buy back the Lord's tenth of the grain or fruit, you must pay its value plus 20%. Count off every tenth animal from your herds and flocks and set them apart for the Lord as holy. You may not pick and choose between good and bad animals, and you may not substitute one for another. But if you do exchange one animal for another, then both the original animal and its substitute will be considered holy and cannot be brought back. Everything belongs to God. Psalm says, the earth is the Lord and all therein. Everything. It's funny, people that don't even realize they belong to God, they belong to God. God still has ownership over their lives. They're living and moving and having their being just because he said so. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to everlasting life. He wants every single person on this earth who is alive today to come to a knowledge of who he is. So he's extremely patient, much more so than we are. Everything and everyone belongs to him. The second part of understanding that tithing is an act of obedience is that we are commanded by God to tithe. We're commanded by God to tithe, and there are consequences for disobedience. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. This is a very famous passage we hear quoted about in church. If you've been involved with church for any length of time, Malachi 3. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. We're commanded by God to tithe. I was sharing with my Thrive group last week. We were talking about the Great Commission and how God commanded us to be a witness. And I won't embarrass anybody that was there that night, but sometimes when I'm discipling a newer believer, when I use the word commanded, I come into a little bit of opposition. And I wondered if anybody in the room was feeling any kind of a little nudge, little check, little abrasiveness in their spirit. Okay, I don't know what else to call it, about the word commanded, specifically about the Great Commission. And so I said, hey, let me ask you guys, does that word bother you at all when it comes to talking about God? And the newest believer in the room said this. The newest believer in the room. If he's the king, why would I have a problem with his command? Did you hear that? Wow. I loved their heart. If he's my king, why would I have a problem with his commands toward me? Tithing, in addition to worship, he does want us to give cheerfully, but there is a time. Would we all be honest this morning and saying, there are some times that I just tithe out of obedience? I'll be honest, I'll tell you. Sometimes that's a struggle for me. But I do it because I know I want his blessing on my life, and because I know he's my king, and I know he's worthy, and I want to worship him. None of that changes whether or not I tithe, but I want to worship him the way that he wants to be worshiped. Does that make sense? He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And guess what? My daddy owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and I can trust him with my tithe because I can trust that he's going to take care of me. He'll take care of my kids too, and my wife, of course. But he will. He'll do that. Malachi 3, verse 6. I'm the Lord, and I do not change. That's why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. He's talking about his mercy. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But you ask, how can we return when we've never gone away? Then God's answer is this. Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me, he says. You're under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord. Wow. There's consequences to obedience as well as disobedience. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have the consequences of obedience. Amen. The last part of understanding that tithing is obedience is that it did not change in the New Testament or in the dispensation of grace that we're now in. Look, turn with me to Luke chapter 20. Jesus affirmed the essential worship of tithing. He affirmed it. Luke 20. And then you can put a finger over in Matthew 23 if you like. Luke 20, verses 20 through 26 says this. Watching for their opportunity, the leaders sent spies pretending to be honest men. They tried to get Jesus to say something that could be reported to the Roman governor so he would arrest Jesus. Teacher, they said, we know that you speak and teach what is right and are not influenced by what others think. You teach the way of God truthfully. Now tell us, is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? He saw through their trickery and said, show me a Roman coin. Whose picture and title are stamped on it? Caesar's, they replied. Well then, he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. So they failed to trap him by what he said in front of the people. Instead, they were amazed by his answer, and they became silent. Now, some people tell me, as we've discussed things, we used to have debates in Bible college about various theological points, and one of those debates that came up that was always kind of fun to debate about was tithing. And you had about 3/4 of the Bible college students would say, no, you're supposed to tithe, and then about 1/4 of them would say, no, you're not supposed to tithe. We live in the age of grace. Jesus never talked about it, blah, blah, blah. Not true. Matthew 23:23. If you're ever wondering if you're ever talking to somebody, just remember 23:23. Matthew 23:23 says this. Let me get there. The master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, So now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let us share together. Okay, I'm looking on down here. That's not, yeah, Matthew 23, 23. No, that's 25, 23. Sorry. 23, 23 says this. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Jesus wasn't saying that tithing's not important. He was saying justice, mercy, faith, love, those things are more important than tithing. But he said, you should tithe, yes. He said it right there. I don't know if you ever saw that before. Jesus affirmed the worship of giving through tithes. Jesus said we should. So those couple passages there, share that with you. Here's a story. Back in the days when you could still buy an ice cream cone for a nickel, there was a little boy who lived in a small town with his grandma. And every Sunday, the grandma took the boy to church, and afterward, they would head downtown for a little treat because the little ice cream shop was open. Boy, after my own heart. One Sunday, grandma wasn't feeling particularly well, and she told the boy that he would have to walk to church by himself. And before he left, she gave him two nickels, one for the offering and one for the ice cream. Now, the boy was traveling to church and walking, and he had to cross an old wooden bridge to get to church. And as he was crossing the old bridge, as little boys do, he started jumping up and down on the bridge to see if he could get the bridge to shake into the water, right? And hopefully not, but... And all of a sudden, his little ears heard a thunk, and he watched one of his little nickels find its way, wheeling its way down the bridge, and then all of a sudden, plop, into the water. Well, standing up, he said, oh, well, there goes God's nickel. You know, sometimes when we're feeling low on money, God doesn't get his part. And it's not funny. I mean, the story is funny. But is God receiving the first part of our income? Is he receiving the first fruits? You know, those farmers, like I said earlier, when we were receiving the tithes and offerings this morning, those farmers, they had to give that first animal back to the Lord. And it was a test of faith. It was a test of their trust in God. They didn't know if they were going to get another lamb the next year. But they would trust God and do it. They put him first. Here's the last thing this morning. Tithing is key to receiving God's blessings. God will bring protection into your life when you tithe. Malachi 3:11 says that. He rebukes the devouring pests. What are the devouring pests? Practically, figuratively, spiritually? If you aren't tithing, church, you're granting the enemy access via pests. The last time I didn't tithe, I had a car breakdown. I remember another time I didn't tithe, my fridge broke. Boy, God was hitting me where it hurt. Why? Now, maybe it's more severe for me than it is for you, because I knew better. I knew better. Long time ago, I had to learn that lesson. And I knew better, and I still had to walk out in faith, and I struggled at that time to do that. He'll bring protection into your life when you tithe. Secondly, he'll cause the fruit of your life to grow and become full. Your children are your fruit. Your testimony is your fruit. Your character is your fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in your life, the fruit of your ministry, among others. Oops. And church, I would just say, do you want your fruit to grow? I know you do. And then God will cause your reputation to grow as well. Can somebody just tell? There we go. Well, it'll just be a couple minutes. Almost done. God will cause your reputation to grow. Malachi 3:12. If you own a business and you conduct it with righteousness, He'll cause your business to be known. He'll cause your reputation to grow. He'll give you a place of importance in people's lives. I want our testimony to grow. I want your testimony to grow. I want to see God use you mightily. When you put Christ first in your life, things happen. God is awesome. I've asked Paul Cameron if you'd share for a minute here about a testimony he shared with me. And I just asked him, I said, Paul, would you be willing to share that? And just while he's coming, would you just grab your connection card this morning? On the back of that, there's some things I'd like you to think about. And Paul, go ahead and share with us.
Well, this testimony kind of in tithing. Just a little over a year ago is when I started tithing. Before that, you know, I was just one, you know, tossed in a little bit here, a little bit there, and then most weeks it's like, I can't afford it, you know, so, you know, I wasn't going to do it. But, you know, as I grew more in the Word of God and with God, you know, it just started weighing on me. You know, how can I not do this with how much God has done for me? So, you know, I figured, well, you know, I was going to start tithing. So I started tithing, not expecting anything in return. You know, I just figured, you know, it's just the small part that I can do for God. And I was always, like I said, I was always one to struggle on bills and everything. And pretty soon, you know, a few months later, my wife and I are going through the bills and to pay the bills. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, this is paid already. This is paid already. That's paid already. It's like all of a sudden we're a month ahead on bills. And, I mean, we got extra money. I mean, there's nothing extra coming in. There's more. I mean, there's actually more going out because we're tithing. But we're taken care of. And, I mean, at that time, too, I mean, we had a lot happen to me, happen to us. I mean, I can kind of turn that around on the pastor, sorry. But, I mean, our car blew a head gasket. I had no way to get a new car. I had my fridge broke. I had no way to get that. A washer broke. And this all happened, like, within a month. But, you know, I had to start thinking to myself, well, do I write this check or don't I? It's like, forget about it. Just write it. God's going to take care of you. And God provided us the means to get that stuff. I mean, I'm not saying that he provided us the money to get it or anything. I knew that regardless of what happened, as long as I was faithful to God, God was going to provide me a way to get to work. God was going to provide me to a way to get my clothes washed. And God was going to provide a way to feed my family. And, I mean, I'm not saying, I mean, he's blessed me with thousands and thousands of dollars. I mean, by no means, I wish, but, I mean, I'm sure everybody does. But what I'm trying to say, I mean, he's provided me a way to feed, to make sure my family's fed, to make sure there's a roof over my head, and to make sure all our needs are met. And, I mean, so, I mean, as some months, you know, it still hurts. But, I mean, I'll continue to write out that check, and I'll continue to be faithful and you know, just trust God.
Faithfulness is victory. That's victory. Paul's sharing, he like he said, sometimes it hurts and sometimes your faith is shaking a little bit. But if you walk through in obedience and still do it, God wins and you win.